Greetings and welcome to Meditation Made Easy. Reduce your stress and improve your health. Let us take a collective breath. In this first lecture, we're going to spend some time asking the question, what is meditation? And just for fun, I went online to answer that question, and boy, is there a lot on the internet now about meditation. Meditation is truly a household word. So if you haven't had a chance yet to print out the PDF handout that comes with this course, perhaps you want to grab it from the external resource and have it open on your screen. Otherwise, just follow along on the video. What is meditation? So let's go to freemeditation.com and see what they say. Meditation is a state of thoughtless awareness in which the excessive stress-producing activity of the mind is neutralized without reducing alertness and effectiveness. It is a state of profound, deep peace that occurs when the mind is calm and silent, yet completely alert. So the first thing I think of is, wow, that sounds like a contradiction, right? How can my mind be calm and silent yet completely alert? And so the answer is, it can. And that's one of the wonderful ahas that you have just experienced within the first couple of minutes of this class. That's how powerful and life-changing this information is. We're going to actually talk about stress later on in the week, because they touch on it here, that stress is an activity of the mind. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about stress because we are living very, very stressful lives, especially from the high stimuli of our lives. But for now, keep this in mind, this idea that you can experience deep peace and yet be completely alert. From whatmeditationreallyis.com. A process of getting to know your own mind. This is also a really great definition because so often we don't even know our own mind. We don't even know what we're thinking. We don't even realize that we are actually thinking the thoughts we're thinking. And so getting to know your own mind is the greatest focus and dedication that you could give yourself this year. When I started focusing on my mind with the intention of really getting to know it, I was in shock. I could not believe what was inside there. It has taken years and plenty of flashlights to go deep into the shadows of my thinking and my belief systems to really take a look at my mind. It has been one of the most powerful and most liberating experiences of my entire spiritual journey. And I just encourage you to say yes to getting to know your own mind. From thebuddhistcenter.com, they say meditation is a means of transforming the mind. From Wikipedia, one of my favorite definitions, to enjoy an indestructible sense of well-being while engaging in any life activity. To me, that's actually the benefit of meditation, you know, to have this indestructible sense of well-being, to have this unshakable inner calm and inner peace while engaging in any life activity. And oftentimes life is crazy and chaotic and emotional. So this idea that you can be centered in the midst of that is so attractive to me. And from a new book by Rupert Spira, The Light of Pure Knowing, we normally consider ourselves to be a collection of thoughts, feelings, and sensations. I, the separate self, living inside the body-mind and made of the body-mind. Here, meditation is normally considered to be an activity that I, this body-mind, undertakes in order to achieve some kind of goal, whatever that goal might be, enlightenment, stillness, peace. From that point of view, the separate self is believed to be what we are, and meditation is considered to be an activity that we do. But meditation, as it is understood in this approach, is not any kind of activity. Meditation is what we are, not what we do. In this approach, meditation has nothing to do with an activity or a cessation of activity of the mind, be it focusing, watching, training, or stilling it, or even watching the breath. I'm not suggesting that these conventional types of meditation don't have their uses. Of course they do. But in this approach, meditation is simply to be the presence of awareness, simply to be that which is aware. We are aware right now of our experience, these words, our thoughts and feelings, sights and sounds present in our room, the tingling sensations of the body. We are effortlessly aware of all this flow of experience, and we don't need to make the slightest effort to be that which knows or is aware of our experience. Meditation is simply to be knowing this one, the one that is aware of our experience. So the reason why I have included all of these different definitions is because it really shows me that there are a lot of different definitions for meditation. There are a lot of different ways that people look at meditation. There are a lot of different techniques and different practices. And there are some that say, this is the way. And there are some that say, well, that's not really meditation. This is really meditation. But I have come to realize that for myself, especially as a beginner, meditation is really anything, be it silence or activity or a mindfulness or chanting or Tai Chi or yoga, anything that, first of all, puts us inside our body. Second of all, centers us in that deep place and space that brings a sense of stillness and peace and, yes, detachment from our thoughts. Not to say that the thoughts ever go away, because mine haven't, but a sense of, as he writes, as Robert Spierer writes, observing the thoughts versus being attached to them or identifying yourself as the thoughts. So what I would ask you is to take a look at these different definitions and see if there's any particular one that kind of vibrates with you, one that you go, oh yeah, that's what I'm feeling now. Or maybe you have your own definition of meditation, and by all means, head on over to the community forum and post that and share that with us. I also want to share with you an article from humankinetics.com, and it's written by Beth Shaw. She says, much of our daily life is spent in our heads. And isn't that just the truth? I mean, my gosh, with technology being the way it is, not only is much of our lives spent in our heads, but they're spent in our hands, where our phone is, right? It's just incredible. She goes on to say, we're often focused on what we're thinking rather than what we're feeling. And that's true too, right? I mean, thinking is easy most of the time. It's oftentimes not so easy to feel. In fact, once we start feeling, it can be a little overwhelming and scary because we're thinking, man, there's a lot of stuff in there I haven't felt for a really long time. Better keep the lid on that. With all the demands of work and home, we're often required to stay one mental step ahead just to get through the day. The problem is when we navigate through life by our thoughts alone, we miss out on a world of information available to us through our bodies and spirits. She goes on to say, the ancient practice of meditation is as integral to yoga as the poses are, and they have the same intention, not to tune out, but to tune in to a frequency long forgotten, or perhaps even undiscovered. To meditate is to become acutely aware of what's going on within you. It's about learning to tame your mind so that you can focus all your energy and awareness on the task at hand. And I would say that's actually one definition of meditation. As we've already talked about, there are many others. The practice of meditation helps you stay centered regardless of your circumstances. There's another benefit. It doesn't teach you to avoid pain or discomfort, but to experience and accept it so you can move through any situation with profound clarity and a sense of inner peace and calm. Meditation is a wonderful way to tap into your internal knowingness and stay in touch with your eternal essence. Now, all of these muscles will tap you in to that internal knowingness and this eternal essence. In fact, maybe you haven't even touched that eternal essence. Maybe this is about recognizing it. Maybe it's about dating it, you know? Maybe it's about beginning to have a relationship with it. How beautiful that is. And the idea that you will build on this relationship and develop this relationship for the rest of your life is pretty wonderful. Meditation at first can be awkward and unfamiliar. It might be eye-opening to discover you are controlled by incessant thoughts, and it might be frustrating to realize that many of them are unnecessary and perhaps even based in misperception or falsehood. Sitting in silence, you might realize how many common distractions compete for your attention, including doubt, sleepiness, and restlessness. Rather than using up even more energy in fighting these hindrances, you eventually realize it's far easier to acknowledge them and release them. Distractions will never let up, but you can teach yourself to let them go. In fact, an awareness of your thought life and distractions is the first step towards developing a successful meditation practice that will improve your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And I love what they're saying here because it's really what I've been saying. This idea that the distractions will never let up. It won't change. But what will change is your relationship to those distractions. I've been meditating for about 8 years now. I still get distractions. I still have mental disturbances when I sit in the silence. However, I do a much better job now of not attaching myself to them. And when I do find myself attached to them, I have a better response in detaching and letting them go. Here's a little bit more from this wonderful article. When you refine your ability to slip into a state of awareness and being, you can bring this focus into other areas of your life. No matter what's happening in your immediate environment, you can step back and respond rather than react. Now, respond means coming from a centered, peaceful, empowered place versus an emotional reaction that often happens when we get triggered and we quickly go into that emotional chaos and unconsciousness before we can even realize what's happening. She also talks in this article about being a beginner, giving yourself permission to be a beginner. And one of the things I've learned in the last couple of years is that I don't really like to be a beginner. I'd rather be an expert. I like being an expert. However, I've had to change that because that was cutting me off from doing new things and trying new things. So I can appreciate the beginner's mind, but the beginner's mind can also be an innocence and an openness. And I just encourage you to use that definition. When I teach this class in physical locations, I have these wonderful weights, a 1 pound weight, a 5 pound weight, and a 10 pound weight. And they're very helpful to emphasize this point about being a beginner because, you know, we say we want to be fit and healthy and stronger and lose weight. And so we find a gym, we sign up, we become a member, we get our gym bag, we commit to going, and we actually go to the gym. But in that first day or in that first week or let alone that first month, we would never think of going up and lifting a 200 pound weight or, you know, swimming the most laps or running the fastest on the treadmill. I mean, we recognize that we're beginning and building up on things. And so let's just go for the 1 pound weight. And let's just start there. Because I found that when you start with the 1 pound weight, you actually get to the 10 pound weight much more quickly. In closing, remember that you are not seeking to find anything through the practice of meditation. Rather, it is through meditation that you are found. And what a glorious find. Our quote for the day comes from Philip Urso. In stillness, all conflict must cease. In Lecture 2, we'll take a look at the myths of meditation and we'll experience our first meditation together, the breathing meditation. Until then, namaste.